You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Guys, it is a Friday. Congratulations. We made it. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes. Guys, we're an hour into our final show, all three together.
Yeah.
RIP to Vanessa and Gallant. It's been a fun 6 months. I love all of you. And feel free to follow me on social media, and feel free to please keep listening to the show. It's going to be the Paul Gallant Show. He's going to do a great job. If you are a part of his Twitch stream, you know that he is very capable of doing not only two, but probably like 8 hours himself.
I did an 8-hour show the night the Astros won the World Series. I had a better call than Robert Ford on the game-winning World Series.
Robert.
Yeah, well, he's not me. I mean, so let's be honest. You know, some people are super megastars, and other people aren't. So, look, it's going to be bittersweet. I do think that radio is at its best when it's two people, especially two people that like each other, that get along with each other. But that's why I'm excited. Sean's going to be speaking a lot more. You guys are going to get to chime in, too. So we're going to go, like, super old school. Bring back
I never
callers.
Held Sean back, by the way. Okay,
that's true.
Just to
that's
be
true.
Clear.
That's true.
I would often try to get Sean to talk.
I mean, shoot, you trust him more than me.
Yeah.
Which is still
absolutely.
A sticking point. And that's probably why you left.
Sean, talk for me.
Am I left? Okay. I got it for a second.
We took the leash off.
Yeah, we did.
Just kidding. That's not allowed.
No, we've
HR
always...
HR violation, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've always considered us a three-person show, and I'm going to miss you guys. But good content will continue here. Not good for the Astros last night. They fall 2-0 in Baltimore. It was cool to see Trey Mancini get the well-deserved ovation that he got for the Orioles among the Orioles fans
yesterday.
At Camden Yards. But this was a frustrating night. Justin Verlander might not have been at his complete best, but he didn't get a whole lot of support. Here's Justin Verlander after the game on his start.
Not good, not bad. I mean, I think 6 innings and 2 runs. When it's all said and done, especially today with the kind of the elements, I was battling a little bit. It's pretty windy out there and was affecting my stuff a little bit. So, and those guys, had some good at bats, so our job as starting pitchers is to keep our guys in the game, and sometimes baseball happens, and that they had a great starting pitching performance.
He sounds a little annoyed.
Yeah,
just a little bit, just a hint of it. You can hear it. I like when Verlander speaks after a loss because you can always tell how disgusted he is
with himself. Though, to give him credit, it's he never puts it on the other guys, even though in this case he probably could have because they scored. No runs.
What's driving me crazy about this, Vanessa, is like Kyle Bradish has a 4.65 ERA on the year, and he has thrown 16 scoreless innings against the Astros. He went 8 2/3 last night in a shutout where the Astros only got 2 hits. And I don't know if the entire difference in last night's performance at the plate had to do with Jose Altuve. And I know that the weird weather, as Verlander alluded to, the wind was a bit of an issue, but good God. And even worse, I forgot this little bastard's still in baseball. I can't stand Ruñon Odor.
Oh, why?
Ruñon Odor's the one who gives them the 2 runs. Ruñon Odor popping his head back up, not punching people in the face at second base, but Ruñon Odor, one of 13 Ruñon Odors or whatever, because that family, his dad has quite the ego. Ruñon Odor gets the 2-run hit to give the Orioles the only 2 runs they needed.
Did you forget he was with the Orioles?
I did.
So it was like...
Totally
forgot. It was kind of triggering.
Totally forgot.
The Astros play the Orioles again today at 6:05. This is a 4-game away trip where they are going to play the Orioles today, tomorrow, and then Sunday. Now, after that, they have the Diamondbacks, and then they finish out September and begin October
Phillies
with the Rays.
And Rays, right? Or Rays
We've
and Phillies,
talked
okay.
about this. I mean, other baseball fans may look at this and say, wow, the Astros have a really easy September and October. I just want to remind everybody that the Astros had more road games at the beginning of the year than anybody else. And, oh, by the way, the All-Star break, where most teams had 5 days of rest, the Astros had 3. They had a doubleheader after the All-Star break. So, yes, the Astros finish out with a pretty easy slate, but they had to get through a lot to get there.
Yeah,
I'm excited
did.
To see what they can do as they end September, and then, again, they have the Rays to kick off October. I'm so excited. I hope they play the Rays in the divisional round because they stomped them.
Yeah, you want to see the Rays get their faces stuffed in. Credit to the Orioles, who are still barely alive. I think they need Toronto to essentially fall apart and to sweep Toronto the last series of the year to make it happen. And also a shout-out to... the Orioles' massive shortstop, George Mateo, who, holy crap, he's an incredible fielder. He made two plays last night. I'm like, how? Like, there's one that got past their second baseman, and he made this amazing like pirouette. And check that. It was in front of the second baseman. He just cuts in front of him and does this amazing pirouette spinning throw to first base, and he gets out a guy. And then also, too, he had another one where third baseman dives for it. You think for sure it's gone, but he's so big. Like, he's just this massive human that he was able to get it. Great shortstop. It was nice to watch somebody else and actually appreciate them as opposed to Rougned Odor, who I can't stand.
We continue our baseball coverage with a Mariners watch.
Oh, yeah.
Paul, let's go.
Mariners watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022. Mariners won yesterday, September 22nd. But a lot of people are talking some trash. Oh, your best player just got hurt. Get your jokes in. Kurt Cobain would make a grunge song about this moment. Oh, wait, he's dead. Chris Cornell could do it. He's dead.
Oh, my God.
But listen, the trident is a symbol. Julio Rodriguez fell. Jared Kelnick picked it up. A home run, a double. The other great Mariners prospect. Sure, he's batting 138, but much like our fentanyl snorting aide shooting up homeless occupying school playgrounds, you gotta find a way to survive. Jared Kelnick did that. Watch out. The Mariners, with now two prospects, are coming.
Hit the post. Hell yeah.
There you go.
Here's the thing. Jared Kelnick was supposed to be the Mariners' super prospect, and he's come up twice, and he sucked for Seattle. And this might have been just a one-game thing where he hit a home run and he hit a double. He is the biggest hardo I think I've ever seen, Vanessa, because someone
tried to... Did you cover him in Seattle?
Yes.
Okay.
Extremely confident person. He got a Gatorade bath after getting this. It's his first game back, and everyone's actually excited for him. They're happy for him because he has had some struggles to open things up in his career. And they dumped Gatorade on him, and he got super pissed off. Like, he got mad and, like, ran away. And he was like, oh, disgusting. And he was pissed off in the post-game interview, too, after having a great game. The guy needs to chill. Like, one of the biggest hardos I can remember in sports.
Now it's time for the team that's probably a little more relevant than your side chick, the Seattle yes. Mariners. It's time for a Yankees watch.
Ooh.
Yankees watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
So... look, the Yankees tonight could see Aaron Judge set the New York Yankees record for home run in this season. And Jesus, I mean, is it not so New York to remind you about how things matter more in the city, the Big Apple?
I do want to note just real quick during this Yankees watch that Rudy Markski tweeted, broadcaster Michael Kay will not appear on tonight's Apple Plus broadcast of a potentially historic game between Red Sox and Yankees tonight as Judge closes in on the AL home run record.
Oh, that is amazing.
So it'll be who? Like Hunter?
It's going to be Hunter Pence.
Katie Nolan?
The guy with gray hair and Katie Nolan, okay. Yes.
Well, I'm yeah. definitely not watching.
I might just because I want to hear the record get broken while they have Red Sox fan and
I don't know what place. Record it is.
Katie Nolan? Yeah, that would be funny if she did that. Come on.
In her defense, that's the role that Apple wanted for her was to be the fan. I just would love to hear a professional broadcaster like Michael Kay call this and somebody that's iconic in New York.
Even though
I don't like the Yankees.
I hate the Yankees,
special.
And I want them to be miserable for every experience that they have. And it would be really funny that before he leaves them in free agency for the San Francisco Giants, if Aaron Judge also has his record-breaking home run be called by, like, Katie Nolan. And I hope she steps on it and says, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just like that. Yeah, I know I'm bad. By the way, did you see the story? We didn't touch on this earlier this week. The kid who caught Aaron Judge's 60th home
yeah.
run ball.
He didn't finesse it very well.
I mean, look, it's not actually a historic home run ball. But seeing as someone bought Tom Brady's touchdown pass that
it was supposedly
wasn't his last
the last one
for $129,000. Hey, you little nerd, how about you make some money and extort Aaron Judge? He's fine paying for it. And then ESPN's like, what a classy gesture. No, you stupid nerd. Like, what are you doing? Come on. Like, most of those animals in the bleachers of the Bronx would 100% extort Aaron Judge for money for that worthless ball. And yet this kid doesn't
Who
have the chutzpah to stand in the pocket.
Kid, the Astros fan that finessed the Astros into giving. Sean, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was the Sunday night baseball game where I want to say it was JJ Manijewicz.
walk-off home run?
Yeah.
Or hit or something.
He caught
like that.
It, and then they wanted it back. And so they offered the kid, like, a jersey, and the kid was like, I'll take a jersey and a ball and a bat
Yeah, he just kept asking for more. And the Astros were like, fine.
Love it.
He would say yes and then keep asking for more. He was like, yeah, we'll do it.
And AT&T Sportsnet had a graphic that they kept coming back with about how much more the kid had gotten. Are Astros kids smarter than Yankees kids? I'm just saying.
Yes, they are.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we take a look back on some memories here in Houston and where we think different teams will be in 3 years. We want your input on this. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Guess what, guys? Free stuff, free stuff, free stuff!
We love free stuff.
Tomorrow, the Cougs are taking on Rice. It's the battle for the Bayou Bucket! 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN, caller number 3. You're going to get a special ticket package for the game, a family four-pack worth $96. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four chips, four regular sodas. Bun B, Paul Wall, XO performing live. Go to uhcougars.com/promo and enter promo code RICE4PACK if you can't get in, or call 713-GO-COUGS to get those tickets today. But again, caller 3, 713-780-3776.
There you go.
Hell
guys,
yeah.
Win some free stuff.
Free stuff,
this is exciting.
Free stuff.
I see Sean picking up the phone. That's a good sign. That means people are calling in. I had a memory pop up on Instagram yesterday, and it showed that 3 years ago I had interviewed Jeff Luhnow as the Astros clinched the AL West. Now, it would be a year later, so 2 years ago, that I did my sit-down with him back when I was with KPRC, but it made me think about how far the Astros have come even since then. They've gone to two World Series. Now, they haven't won either one since that moment. But it made me think about just time and from a much more broad perspective, Houston sports and where they will be in 3 years. 3 years is thought of as like you should start seeing results from a rebuild in 3 years, no matter what sport it is. Or like in the Astros case, we've talked about how the golden years have been great, but at some point, Justin Verlander is going to either retire or exit. At some point, you know, you have to have that three-year mark. So it made me think, where do we see the Astros 3 years from now? Have they won another World Series? Who's manager? Et cetera, et cetera.
3 years from now, I think that we're going to see a team that has great pitching that might struggle to score runs. I'm wondering about what this lineup is going to look like a couple of years
from now. Now, is that because of the exit of the bat of Michael Brantley and among a myriad of different things?
It's not just Brantley. I'm wondering, is 3 years from now, Jose Altuve going to be this Jose Altuve? He has been awesome this season. Is Alex Bregman going to be healthy 3 years from now? I feel good about Yordan Alvarez's futures, assuming that Kyle Tucker sticks around the same way. I'm curious as to if Jeremy Pena can develop into a better player than what he is right now, which is a good shortstop.
Happy belated birthday, by the way, 2 days ago. I think he turned 25, so
Jeremy
still a young guy.
Jeremy Pena turned 25
any better with this
earlier this week.
But yeah, I mean, I think we've seen a lot from Pena, but it's a fair question.
I think the pitching is in great shape. I mean, you saw Hunter Brown just come up. I think Lance McCullers is still under contract. You love what you've gotten out of Framber Valdez this season. It's been an amazing year. I mean, he is actually in the Cy Young running. I think, in Christian Javier have someone that's got a lot of potential. And, yeah, I like it. I mean, if Urquidy and Luis Garcia, the guys that are at the back of your rotation, if they are here too, like, you're going to have good pitching. You'll still be a good team. Will you actually face a challenge in the AL West, not named the Seattle Mariners? That doesn't seem like that's around
They're
the corner
in a
either.
Very good place division-wise.
Yeah.
I see them in 3 years, knock on wood, having won another World Series. I think if they win another World Series, Dusty Baker hangs it up and retires the moment they do so.
And then move on to Espada.
Joe Espada, yeah. I mean, I think they know that with Joe Espada having interviewed for different positions that he's thought of as a hot commodity, and I know the players respect him. So now I'm not saying they kick Dusty to the curb. I'm just saying I think they have another World Series in them. I think Dusty exits after that. He'll be in his mid-70s at that point. And I think you have Joe Espada, who has a lot of experience. And the future's bright with Hunter Brown. I mean, I the Astros in 3 years are exciting to me. Let's shift to the Texans in 3 years. The Texans are, it's funny, because it's not too different, the AFC South. Now, the AL West is a little bit more skilled. But if the Texans can improve, are they the best team in the AFC South in 3 years? Let's say the Colts, let's say Ursay cleans house, right? Gone, Ballard, gone, all of that. Let's say Ryan Tannehill goes downhill and maybe Malik Willis isn't what we thought he was. And Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson are decent. In 3 years, do the Texans have a potential to maybe be the AFC South favorites?
It's possible that they're in a better spot than the Colts or the Titans. Right now, and I'm really interested in, I think, perhaps the most undersold game of this weekend, Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Herbert, assuming that he's going to be ready to go in that game between the Jaguars and Chargers. I think that's going to tell us a lot about where the Jaguars are going to be 3 years from now.
Well,
I know it's a lot
Shad
to put
Khan,
into one game.
I don't think Shad Khan will clean house. I think he likes Doug Peterson. I think it seems like that's going to be a marriage for a while.
Right, especially since like they just fired a coach after
proven,
less than 1 year. Right. I think that they want to have a little continuity going forward. I am just going to assume the worst with the Texans because that has always served me well. They're not going to have a quarterback. 3 years from now, they will not find a quarterback. I hope I'm wrong, but why would you expect them to find a quarterback?
You don't think the Texans, do you think they'll swing and miss or that they're sticking with Mills?
They're more likely to, well, Mills is gone. If Mills is here next year, I'll be pissed. I'm already out. 3 years from now, will they be able to find the next guy? I think the odds are no. I think the odds are against every team to find the guy. And look, some of you people out there, have lower standards than me when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you
I
just
mean,
do. I can't. I grew up rooting for Tom Brady.
Right.
It's not to be like a total D about it. I'm just saying I have high standards for quarterbacks, and you need to have a guy that's on that level. You should never settle for a Jared Goff, for a Carson Wentz, like so many teams have done over the last couple of years. You shouldn't. If there's even a remote feeling of doubt in your mind, Kirk Cousins, don't do it. I don't think there's doubt with Lamar Jackson. I don't think the Texans will have a quarterback 3 years from now.
So the AFC South from now, the powerhouse, you think will be who?
AFC South, if I have to bet, I'm putting it on the Jaguars right now.
Yeah,
but again, I could totally change my mind based off of what happens on Sunday against the Chargers.
Right, and I mean, we're going to see more with the Colts against the Chiefs for sure. So Rockets, 3 years from now.
I think the Rockets have a little bit more juice behind them, but I don't think that Raphael Stone and Steven Silas will be here.
You think
here.
They'll still be here?
No, I don't. I
the
think
NBA
they'll be gone.
Is unforgiving. We know this. The Celtics news, by the way, we did update you guys earlier, but Ime Udoka is out for the season, suspended for the season. Celtics head coach after that magical trip as a rookie head coach to the NBA Finals. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
You think he resigns?
It's a good question. I feel like if the guy who steps in does well enough, you should just push him to
Could
the
be.
Side. This is a hard one to come back from because everyone in the organization is going to be looking at you differently. And if you have already taken the first step of suspending the guy for a full season, then, I mean, what's the next one? It does make me think about the Astros with the cheating scandal and that why they didn't suspend Hinch, or they didn't suspend Jeff Luhnow. I mean, Hinch should have done more, I guess, instead of like, you know, I thought, you know, throwing a TV was definitely dramatic, but not exactly.
There are so many debates on whether what they were doing was even that much more advanced than other teams. I think time will tell.
Yeah.
My prediction, let's keep it on the 3 year.
3 years.
I think within 3 years or more, we're going to have more players that retire and come out and say, maybe we were doing similar things. You never know.
Well, that's...
somebody on Twitch said 3 years from now, Vanessa will be my ex-wife. Aim
Damn.
High. I thought we were going to last forever. Name of person, I don't know.
3. Yeah. You know what? This is how it began.
Right.
Person I don't know on Twitch.
On Twitch.
You know what? I've been thinking long and hard, and damn, you sound hot.
Coming up on Vanessa
not
and Glott,
hot.
It's our pick six segment, we're going to talk about a little college football. We're going to make some predictions. And I humbly say my record is definitely the worst among all three of us.
That's why she's leaving.
Yeah, that's why I'm leaving. That's coming up next.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one! Unbelievable! He is gone! Kiss McKinney goodbye!
But Vanessa and Gallant are going to pick six games.
There's six!
Pick six!
Wow, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
Guys, I am not doing well. And it's not just because this is my final day on Vanessa and Gallant, and I'm sad. But we all picked college football teams at the beginning of the college football season. Paul is currently 6-9.
Well, so...
Nice. Supposed to say nice.
Sean
is 5-10.
I missed it for a second.
And I'm 3-12.
These are the picks that we've been doing for our just weekly pick segment that we've done. I actually do not know the records of the teams that we all drafted in our great Texas and around Texas draft. But, yeah, you guys had a rough week this past week.
Picking, do we think these teams will cover, et cetera?
Cover the spread, yes.
And this is why I shouldn't go to Vegas, because I have not done well. So, like I said, Paul is 6-9. He is the more gambling one among us three. Sean is 5-10, right at 500. I am 3-12, which is why when I go to Vegas, I get me a big fat Tuesday drink. I sit by the pool and I don't touch the slot machines because I'm not good.
When we go to Circa, we just go to the pool.
That's true. We did go to the pool.
We did, yes.
Shout out to Derek and the folks at Circa Sports.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's go through some of the games this week. At 2:30 on ESPN number 22, Texas Longhorns at Texas Tech. The Horns favored by 7.
Look, the Horns should cover here. I'm going to pick Texas. Tech had a cute first couple of weeks. Last week against NC State, though, I think a big disappointment. They can't really run the ball. They've been getting sacked for massive losses. And if we know anything about Texas, we might be uncertain about the quarterback position. But they can run it with Bijan Robinson. And they have an awesome defensive line.
Right.
I feel like they're going to make life miserable for Texas Tech's offense. So I think Texas covers this one.
Sean, what say you? You are a Texas Longhorn alum. You are currently wearing your Texas Longhorn shirt.
It's a nice shirt.
It is a nice shirt. It's a vintage look.
I'll take the Longhorns here. I don't. 7 is kind of a lot with Hudson Card on the road. It's going to be the first road game for Texas this year, which is kind of weird to think about. But, also, Texas Tech hasn't beaten Texas in Lubbock since 2008, the Michael Crabtree game.
Really?
Yeah. That's the last time?
Yes. Wow. They beat them in Austin since, but they haven't beat them in Lubbock since then. So, I'll go with the trend. Also, defensive coordinator for Texas, Pete Kwiatkowski, has a lot of experience against air raid offenses. He played Mike Leach every year in the Apple Cup.
There you go. Analyst, Sean.
And beat them, I think, every single year that they played each other.
All right, 6 o'clock ESPN number 10, Arkansas will take on them Aggies and the Aggie Yale and the Yale leaders in Arlington. Aggies favored by 2.
Arkansas more like Arkansas. Yeah, we had some fun with our league.
Whoop.
Yeah, whoop, whoop, whoop. Look, it's the game where if Max Johnson is remotely competent, like this is where it happens. Because Arkansas might have the worst pass defense in the country, and we do know that the Aggies have some really fast wide receivers. Arkansas's bad secondary, by the way, is beat up. I will say this, though, about Arkansas. They can stop the run, and they are very good on third downs. The Aggies, meanwhile, aren't good at holding on to the football. So, I mean, am I willing to roll the dice and say Max Johnson has a breakout game against Arkansas in Jerry World against a number 10 team? That Jimbo Fisher is going to be able to unlock that offense further. My heart is telling me no, but I've been back and forth on this. It's basically, do you pick the Aggies to win? I think Texas A&M should win this game. I think Max Johnson should be decent. So I'm gonna take the Aggies to cover by 2 in this.
Sean, what say you?
Yeah, with this Arkansas pass defense, it is like if not now, when will you ever show anything? So I also think that Texas A&M just does just enough to get those playmakers in space, get Anaya Smith going to at least beat this absolutely. I mean, because Arkansas in game one against Cincinnati, I think like three of the four starters in the defensive backfield went down like in the first half.
Yeah.
Like this, they're playing like backups and walk-ons almost at this point. So yeah, they're very good against the run, but you shouldn't be running it a lot. So this is going to be a real test of like Jimbo Fisher. Can you effectively pass to beat an SEC team? I say they do it tomorrow.
Okay. We continue with our pick six with a noon game. CBS, of course, Houston at the Bears. Bears are favored by 2.5 per BUSR.
This is the one game that I feel confident about the Texans in all year long. Now, watch Davis Mills disappoint all of us, but Chicago doesn't trust Justin Fields. Think about this. Fields has 28 passing attempts all season long. Only 8 of them have been past the line of scrimmage. He has also been sacked 5 times. Considering he has 28 passing attempts, that's a very high number. He also has 2 interceptions. Considering 8 passes have been downfield, that is an alarming number. Fields is not good. The Texans just have to run the ball. Can you win this game 6-3?
It sounds like he knows they don't trust him, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like the tone of his voice. Sean, what say you? How you feel about you've said this is a must-win for the Texans.
Yes, and the last 2 weeks against the Texans, I picked against them, and they covered. I picked against them in the Colts, and they tied. Great tie. And I picked against them. I think they're, what, plus 10 or something against the Broncos, and I think they lost by 8.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Texans. I won't make the same mistake 3 times. If I'm wrong this time, at least I picked them.
That's the spirit. All right.
They're just good enough to cover. Story of the Houston Texans in 2022.
Beat a team that basically doesn't have a quarterback.
Yes.
Buffalo at Miami on CBS at noon. The Bills per BUSR are favored by 4.
Okay. The Bills are banged up. Kind of forgotten in the destruction of the Tennessee Titans on Monday. Jordan Poyer, limited. Micah Hyde, out. They're going to be without a defensive lineman as well. That just came out today. But I do not see how a defense for Miami that was getting torched by Lamar Jackson in the first half stops an even more electric Bills passing game. I think the Bills cover. I'm still having a hard time buying into Tua. I understand Tua is coming off of the best game of his career. I don't know that Tua's got the horses, though, in him to get in a shootout with Josh Allen. They're going to need the same things to happen against Baltimore that happened against the Bills. And while the Ravens had a ton of, bleep ups in coverage, like, don't you think the Bills, like, even with some backups out there, that's the last thing they're going to allow happen?
How does our resident Tuanon believer feel about this?
Give me the Dolphins against that beat up secondary. Like you said, the Ravens had a lot of coverage busts last week, and when you make coverage busts against Tyreek Hill, you're just going to give up a touchdown. Give me the team that doesn't have, 3 of their starters down. I think that's a recipe for maybe some more coverage busts, and that's basically what...
Tuanon.
Yeah, that's what they do.
You're Tuanon. So Tuanon here. You're just like, you're counting
on
things
to happen again. I will say this. Our producer, Sean Mapes, has loved Tua. He's been a Tua believer. Paul Gallon and I did not believe in Tua. I thought Tyreek Hill, I wasn't sure what to expect from new head coach Mike McDaniel, new offensive coordinator Frank Smith. What we've seen the first 2 weeks has been promising.
Yes, for the first 2 weeks, I am right.
Fitzpatrick once threw 6 touchdown passes.
There you go. No, it's true, too. All right, awesome. Finally, and I think we're all excited for this game, 325 on Fox. Green Bay at Tampa Bay. The NFL Twitter account is calling it the Battle of the 12s. Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady.
The Battle of the Bays.
Yeah.
Football Bay versus
the Bucks are favored
Bay.
By 1 per BUSR.
So the Bucks,
which essentially means they're at home.
All of the Bucks receivers are hurt. 2 of them might not play in Julio Jones and Chris Godwin. Mike Evans is suspended. Scotty Miller, Breshad Perriman, and Russell Gage all have injuries too. So here's what you got to wonder. Can a Buccaneers defense that has been probably the best in the league the first 2 weeks of the year, can they shut down a Packers offense that's figuring things out? Because this could be one of those ugly, low-scoring games. I can't pick against my Lord and Savior, even if it's the defense that's carrying them. And in a battle of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, I am taking Brady to once again prevail over the heretic, the fraud, Aaron Rodgers.
What do you say, Sean?
I also like Tampa here because of that. Like you said, I think you could line me and Paul up as wide receivers, and Tom Brady could at least
definitely me. I'm awesome.
We could at least be driving with a chance to tie or take the lead late in the fourth. I think, especially with that run defense that the Bucs have, and that's really the strength of the Packers. So if they can neutralize the Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, I really think that they the Bucs are pretty well matched up to win this one.
Let's do the Microsoft Surface tablets broken by Tom Brady on the sidelines during the season over-under. My man was frustrated.
They actually set odds on this. So, rest of the way, 1.5 is the number for Brady to break a tablet.
On the sideline.
I feel like there's some endorsement opportunities if he breaks the tablet again, so I think he's going to do it. He's going to do it for the TB12 brand.
Finally, at 7:20 on NBC, we'll have San Francisco at Denver, 49ers by 1.5 per BUSR.
Where's the Italian? The handsome Italian Aladdin lookalike is back under center for San Francisco, and the Denver Broncos look like an absolute mess with a crowd that is already sick of Nathaniel Hackett and possibly Russell Wilson already. That's sarcastically counting down the play clock. They will do that this week. Like, they don't even need a prompting. They will do it again if things get dicey. Denver doesn't have a home field advantage right now, I think. So I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers and that lockdown defense, because right now Denver can't score in the red zone. 0-6.
Yeah, it's like I was saying with the Colts and Chiefs. I think it was either yesterday or the day before where I actually think playing in Indianapolis is a bad thing for the Colts right now with how restless their fans are going to be. The first thing something goes wrong. I think Denver is in the exact same boat. I don't think they can score, which seems bad when you trade all these picks for quarterback and then you hire an offensive coach. And then they really cannot. They scored 16 points against the Texans. I mean, heck, the Colts scored 20 against them.
Right.
So I think San Fran has this one just because it's Jimmy G back. It's last year's San Francisco, basically. Just start thinking of them like that. It's like, oh, this is the team that went like 10-7.
I believe way more in San Francisco with Jimmy G than I do with Trey Lance. But, and I never want anybody to get injured, but I think it's going to be the best thing that could have happened to the 49ers. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our final segment, my final segment, with the show. Plus, our last garbage time, that's next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Coming in with Tom Petty, Sean Mapes is the real MVP. That's so sweet of you. Vanessa and Gallant, this is our last segment ever.
It's ironic, though, because she is backing down.
I am backing up to a new job.
I won't back down, except for when I get a raise. Then I will.
Oh, stop. All right. I will announce later on social media today exactly where I'm going.
Are you going to get announce today?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Have a whole bunch of different hats lined up and then you do a college football?
I'm going to announce where I'm taking my talents. But I am really, really thankful, and I do want to just focus on ESPN 97.5 for a second. David Gow and Todd Farquharson, amazing bosses. Paul Gallant and Sean Mapes, incredible coworkers. I don't care what industry you work in. Maybe you work in insurance or you're a teacher or you're a doctor. You don't always enjoy the people that you work with. That's not a secret. That's just life in general.
No,
I genuinely enjoy the people I've worked with here. And we've had a really, really great time together. It's only been about 6 months, I think. We launched the day after the Super Bowl. So it wasn't a long time, but I just personally grew, you know, hosting a two-hour show every day. Really made me grow as a reporter, journalist, on air, whatever you want to say. And so I'm very grateful to all of our listeners and to those who wanted to see me stick around in Houston. Paul is going to continue the show. It will just be the Paul Gallant Show, the creatively and appropriately named Paul Gallant Show.
Featuring Paul Gallant, starring Paul Gallant.
Yeah.
Six-hour meeting. We came up with that name.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say it took a long time with the consultants.
We almost named it the Sean Mapes Show with Paul Gallant.
Sean Mapes will still be behind the glass, but we look forward to hearing more from Sean and Paul, you know, and his Rolodex of Seattle contacts and all
yes,
of the
you know what? No,
Russell
don't worry.
Wilson
don't worry.
Hate that.
We're not going to bring on dead Kurt Cobain to talk about the state of grunge music and why, you know, there's homeless people that are furiously shooting up on school playgrounds. No, not going to do that. What we are going to do is we're going to make it extremely interactive, which is what we did when I was working at the flagship for 3 years doing the show by myself. It's going to be a lot of the same stuff that we did back then. It's going to be weird, goofy, and I want to hear from you. And also, I mean, ask any question, I will answer it.
That's, yeah, but that's true.
That's the road.
There are very few things that will make Paul Gallant uncomfortable. If you can get into his dating life, you can get into to any of
Seriously.
That.
Yeah.
So I, again, just thank you to everybody that, you know, made us part of your habits, made us part of your day. It's been a great 6 months. And then obviously I was at KPRC for about 2 years before that. So I love Houston.
You've done a great job here, Vanessa. Seriously. I've had a blast over the last couple of months. Not many TV people can do this. I know there's this weird like dynamic in media where like print people think that radio people are idiots and radio people think print people are boring and TV people.
There definitely is still a separation even with multimedia.
Yeah, but you are extremely talented at this.
Thank you.
Are great on TV. Like I think incredible, but to be able to come into this industry and to pick this up as quickly as you did and have such a fun show that we did, it's been great. And on a personal note, like I consider you like a little sister. I'm going to miss the hell out of hanging out with you every single day. It's been a whole lot of fun. And best of luck. I'm really happy for you. You deserve this.
Thank you so much. I've said this before, but you know, I just went through a lot while I was here personally with my dad passing away and all of that. And I could not have had more support than with these guys. Not only these guys, but Lance and John, the show before us, Joel and Jeremy after, Joel Blank and his wife, Lisa Hernandez, who I worked with the channel too, are like older brothers and sisters to me. So I love everybody here and I'm really thankful. And like I said, I'll give specifics later in the day on my social media pages. Let's talk about Jameis Winston. Really no easy transition there. Other than he is one of the most entertaining people, I think, in all of professional sports.
He's the best.
He's incredible. He's never short of entertainment. The thing that I think makes him the most entertaining is that he's not trying.
Right.
Okay, like you have players that are trying to be funny. Jameis is never trying. This is a quote from Jameis Winston earlier in the week on just trying to stay mellow with his body.
Here he is. Do you have to do a better job of, I guess, staying within yourself when you get into those situations?
Yes, I will do a better job of staying mellow in the madness.
I love it.
I want to stay mellow in the madness.
He needs to have a shirt made.
I would buy a staying mellow in the madness shirt. Here's the thing, though.
You can tell, the funny thing That's is you can Jameis. Tell someone like said it to him.
Probably.
Like whether it's a sports psychologist, like someone said mellow in the madness. Am I wrong, Sean? Like now this is like his thing.
No, that's 100% a like life coach right. or maybe even just a regular coach. That's something actually, did he ever cross paths with Mike Tomlin? Because that is something Mike Tomlin
that
would
is,
say.
Like, mellow in the madness is a Tomlinism
I think our team did well to stay mellow in the madness. Like I just feel like that's something Mike Tomlin said.
It also seems like something that Deshaun Watson would tweet cryptically without any context.
Well, do you remember when Deshaun used to talk about that his favorite book ever was the coffee bean book, where it was like one coffee bean can impact a whole. You guys, there were press conferences where he would mention that he had read a book about the coffee bean, and now I need to look up the coffee bean book that Deshaun Watson.
Huh? No, I've never heard of that.
The coffee bean, a simple lesson to create positive change.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sure the author of that book isn't super psyched with the recommendation now.
That's true.
He's got another bean on the mind, yeah.
Oh, whoa, Paul. all right. It's time for our final, my final, garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
You know, beans and chili.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the movie Gone Girl with Ben Affleck.
Seen it.
It's so good.
I've heard it's awesome. Now, I heard the plot, and I heard the plot. I was like, damn it, maybe I shouldn't watch it.
The book is really good as well. Highly recommend the book. Highly recommend the movie. And basically, there's going to be a spoiler alert here. The woman pretends like she got kidnapped. She plots her own kidnapping, etc. Well, a California, they're calling her a super mom, confessed to kidnapping and torturing herself during a 22-day disappearance. Her name was Sherry Papini. I remember because I love true crime when she was missing the Today Show. Everybody was doing all of these segments. Find this California mom. Find this. The moment that the kidnap hoaxer Sherry Papini was told her elaborate kidnapping hoax plan had been uncovered by the detectives has been released. So there's basically a video where she finds out and she could not be more shocked.
I gotta give her credit for trying to, you know, think up a way to get herself out of this situation. Because it sounds like, what, love triangle?
Yeah, it was something with an ex-lover. But she showed up, if you watch the end of Gone Girl, She shows up with blood and all these bruises that she gave herself. Sherry Papini did the same thing.
Right.
So it was truly Gone Girl style.
Talking to other guys got me here. That was her line when asked about it in an interview, I guess, with detectives. You know, people are going to try crazy stuff to get out of uncomfortable situations. I would advise you to not go the kidnapping route.
Yeah.
Use a dead parent, grandparent, you know,
do something like that. All right. Also on Barstool Sports, an unhinged passenger sucker punched a flight attendant for not letting him use the first class bathroom. This is pretty standard, people. A lot of times when there's a first class cabin.
Punching a flight attendant.
No.
Yes, very standard.
Only the first class people are allowed to use that bathroom.
Oh, you've spoken as someone who's actually been in first class.
I have not been on first class. Give me a break. I'm just saying, it's not like this guy should be surprised.
The queen from Terre Haute.
You think a girl from Terre Haute, Indiana has ever been in first class? You're out of your mind.
I've always thought, like, it would be really funny for someone to pull a prank on first class to get up into the front and, you know, to drop the kids off, I guess, if you will. You know, to stick it up. Maybe that's what he was trying to do, to get as far away from the toilet as possible. But, yeah, you're right. Sometimes it is a little frustrating that you can't actually get to the bathroom. And there are certain airlines, too, where you're not really 100% sure if there is a first class or not. I know Southwest doesn't have a first class, but there are some other airlines, too, where, like, hey, if the shade isn't pulled over, like, I assume that I can go there. You're gonna kick me out?
Yeah, I think first class is a tricky situation overall. You know the overhead thing? The thing that I'm jealous of for first class people is that they get all the leg room and then they get their own overhead thing where you get the most room for that. Adam Levine, what are you doing? Adam Levine cheated on it, or at least it looks like his Victoria's Secret model wife, Bahati Prinsloo, I think I'm saying that correctly. All of these DMs have been exposed.
Well, I mean, he's a little slut. I mean, that's the truth. And
no shame in that.
If you
no
read these, what'd you say, Sean?
Don't slut shame.
If you,
yeah. I will.
If you read these direct messages, he's not even good at flirting.
No,
that's
not
the problem. Like, you are one of the most famous singers, and you're not better at flirting than this?
Well, he hasn't had to do it for 20 years.
That's true.
He just goes, look at me.
I'm Maroon Adam 5. Levine.
Remember that?
Yeah. And this, you don't even know Maroon 5 music. Their first album was good. The rest, I've not been into.
I'm gonna text your DMs. I'm gonna say you're hot. He just says, like, whoa, your ass. Whoa, dude.
He said, I might have to see the booty.
Yeah. That's the one that's gone viral.
The smoothest man of all time.
Guys, if you're stay in your marriages, be good. If there's anything we've learned from the last week with all of this drama. Guys, it's been fun. Sean Mapes, love you. Paul Gallant, love you. Todd and David, thank you for this amazing opportunity. Like I said, you can follow me on social media to hear more. But continue next week to listen to The Paul Gallant Show,
which
will debut Monday, featuring, Paul Gallant.
It's going to be great.
Have a great day, guys. Thanks,
Vanessa. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peace.
Love you guys.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.